Elizabeth, would you come on up? We have a special, special speaker. I've known Elizabeth Elliott and her family for, I know it's over 10 years by now. And she, God has used her in powerful ways, really, to share, to express, to lead, to pray. She's a prayer warrior. She's one of these ladies that is always like praying in the spirit and praying and seeing things. And so the Lord's got some things to say through her today to us. And so I want to turn her loose. Go, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Matt did such a great job blessing the mothers today. I stood and received, but God has more. That's what God always has. God always has more. And so he's put blessings inside of me to pour out on the mothers also. And so we're just going to start that time doing that. Lord, I bless the mothers of this house. Anointing of God, I ask you to fall fresh upon the mothers of this house. I dare you mothers to receive more. We like to just take a little bit of a portion and go, oh, go, that's fine, that's good enough. But I say that the Lord has more for you. And so, anointing of God, I ask you to fall fresh upon the mothers of this house, God. I ask, Lord, that you would pour out on heaven, on these women, God. Just align them, God, so that they can catch the full amount of what you're pouring out. God, I thank you for the privilege of the posture of a mother that you've allowed me to be in and the earth. And Lord, I use that position as a mother this morning to repent. I repent on behalf of all ungodly mothering that has happened in the hearts of those that are represented in this room today. I tell you, I'm sorry, and I apologize to you for any hurts or any wounds that you incurred from ungodly mothering or neglect from a mother. I ask you to forgive. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would move, blood of Jesus, that you would come and touch those hurts, those wounds that were incurred from ungodly mothering, Lord, from neglect. Blood of Jesus, ask you to go deeper than the healing that's already there. I thank you that as you're healing, Jesus, that you're giving us higher levels of forgiveness. Lord, we release forgiveness to any wounds or any hurts that we incurred from ungodly mothering, from neglect. And we just thank you, Father, that your power is moving upon us and ascending us to a higher level of mercy. And God, I do just lift up the mothers in this house today who have experienced loss and those that have lost mothers, God. Lord, we bless those women. We say, let the blessing of God fall fresh upon the hearts of women who have lost, mothers who have lost, those that have lost mothers. God, I ask, Holy Spirit, anointing of God, that you would come and rush in and you would restore and you would supernaturally bring wholeness where there's no way to be whole except from you. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are coming in and you are filling those vacancies that loss has created as only you can do. And I just ask also, Holy Spirit, that you would come, anointing of God, that you would come and mother us today, that you would change us, that you would transform us, that you would transfigure us, God. Kingdom of God, I ask you to come in even greater measure than you've already been in this room today. Full, full, full to overflowing. This is what I ask and receive in your name, Jesus, through your blood and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord has been speaking to me last year and throughout the beginning of this year about the familiar. That term, the familiar, it's a contrast between authentic intimacy with the kingdom of God. And it's a place called the familiar. And I'm just going to share some of the things that he said to me thus far. He keeps bringing it up. And so it's a conversation he wants to keep having, and it's one he wants to have with us today. The familiar, this is what it means. It's when we have some information without enough involvement to have authentic truth. That's what the familiar means. It's when we have some information, but we don't have enough involvement to know absolute truth. And this can happen compartmentally in our lives in different ways with the kingdom of God. The familiar, it lives on the edge. It lives on the periphery. Whereas authentic intimacy with Jesus is at the heart and the core, the kingdom of God. And authentic intimacy with the kingdom of God is at the heart and the core. And the familiar, it lives on the periphery. And the Lord has taught me that in the familiar, we're more prone to deception. We're more prone to perversion, that we kind of set ourselves up to be deceived more easily when we're in the familiar. Because when we press into authentic intimacy with Jesus, who is the truth, we find the validation of what is true and what is real. But when we play it safe and we stay on the periphery and we stay in the place called the familiar, we set ourselves up to be more easily deceived. And it's not necessarily something we're intending to do. It's something that by revelation of God, he shows us, hey, you're on the periphery. You're on the edge. I've called you into deep intimacy with me. The familiar, in that place of deception, it can help us. We can believe that we actually have intimacy because it's a deceiving atmosphere. The familiar, the periphery is a deceiving atmosphere. And with that little bit of knowledge, without pressing in with involvement to find absolute truth, we can actually think that we are in intimacy. And it takes the Spirit of God who is in this house today to reveal to us that actually there's some places we're still on the periphery and the Lord's calling us into deeper intimacy. It is a passion of the anointed Holy Spirit to reveal hindrances to us. He's not trying to make us feel bad about ourselves. He wants us to come all the way in where there's real living and real life and abundance and overflow. And so it is a passion of his to reveal hindrances to us so they would get out of the way and we would come fully in. Because the purpose of Jesus, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, was for intimacy. It was for intimacy. So anything that keeps us from that, the Holy Spirit is passionate to get it out of the way. And one of those things, one of those atmospheres is the familiar that lives on the periphery. And so revelation of God, I just ask that you come, anointed revelation of God, and just reveal, as I'm speaking, God, just reveal those places for each and every one of us. So we're gonna look at four different verses in Luke. And the first one shows amazing intimacy, which is what we're made for. And the first verse that we're gonna look at is Luke 9:32. Thirsty. Luke 9:32. I'm going to read this out. All these scriptures are from the Passion Translation. This first verse, Luke 9:32, it says this. Peter and his friends became very drowsy, but they became fully awake when they saw the glory and splendor of Jesus standing there and the two men with him. I like to read scripture twice. Luke 9:32. Peter and his friends became very drowsy, but they became fully awake when they saw the glory and splendor of Jesus standing there and the two men with him. This is a scripture verse that's pulled out of the testimony of the transfiguration of Jesus. And the transfiguration of Jesus is the time when Jesus went to pray, to have intimacy with the Father. And in that place, he brought Peter, James, and John with him. And in that place, the Amplified translation says, in that place of intimacy that Jesus was having with the Father, the Amplified version says that his appearance became altered. And the Message translation says that his face became aglow and a blinding glory shone forth from him in this place of intimacy that he was having with the Father. And the scripture also says that in this place where Jesus was having intimacy, his appearance became altered. Peter, James, and John were there. His face became aglow. A blinding glory shone forth from him. The scriptures also say that Moses and Elijah appeared there. And it says in the Amplified version that they were talking to Jesus about his exit. Peter and his friends became very drowsy, but they became fully awake when they saw the glory and splendor of Jesus standing there and the two men with him. other translations where it says the glory and splendor of Jesus, some translations say the majesty and the brightness. The glory and the splendor and the majesty and the brightness of Jesus is our place of intimacy. It's where we are meant to be, day and night, night and day, fully alive, overflowing with the kingdom of God within us, pouring it out to those around about us. Glory and splendor and majesty and brightness of Jesus. The glory and the splendor and the majesty and the brightness of Jesus is always produces fullness. And in this particular scripture, it produced a fullness of awakenedness for the disciples. They became fully awake because the glory and splendor and majesty and brightness of Jesus always produces fullness, and fullness of the kingdom of God always produces fulfillment. Always produces fulfillment of the kingdom of God, fulfillment of the promises of God, which is why Jesus suffered and died and rose again, so we would have full access into that place. So this is an amazing picture of intimacy that we were meant for. And it's really good to look at the real so that we can see the faults. We can understand and recognize the faults better. Discernment is heightened for us when we focus on the real. So we started off looking at the scripture that's a major incident of intimacy with the kingdom of God, intimacy that Jesus had with the Father. And now we're going to look at three more verses out of Luke. All of these are from the Passion Translation. All of these are Jesus's words. And in these scriptures, he's going to be describing to us a real difference between what it's like to be in the familiar, on the periphery, and what it's like to come into authentic intimacy with him. And so the first verse we're going to look at, well, it's the second verse, but the first verse that we're going to look at that Jesus is saying is Luke 8:10. This verse says this, again, these are Jesus's words. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. I'm going to read it again. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. Even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Jesus is describing a heart that lives on the periphery in the familiar, a heart that is outside authentic intimacy with him. And he describes the senses of that person. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. There is a deception that happens in the familiar on the periphery. And the reason a lot of us have big places or little places in us is to come into authentic intimacy with the kingdom of God takes sacrifice. It takes investment, and it takes a willingness to allow your heart to be vulnerable to the influence of the glory and the splendor and the majesty and the brightness of Jesus. And it's worth it. It's worth it. But when we're on the periphery, when we're in the familiar, a deception can come because we have a little bit of knowledge. But if you have a little bit of knowledge, you know what that means? You got a whole lot of ignorance, right? A little bit of knowledge just means that you have a whole lot of ignorance. And so in that place, there's a lot of potential to be deceived, which is why Jesus is always calling us to his heart. Come close, come near. It's not just for the amazing blessings that it is to have intimacy with him, and it is blessing, but it's also to keep us from the familiar, the periphery where Jesus says that's where hearts hardened, that's where hearts closed, that's where eyes can't see, that's where ears can't hear. And you know, we have such a good picture of that in the scriptures because crowds follow Jesus, right? They followed him around. And the times that we see the kingdom of God show up and power go forth is when someone pressed in. Just like Matt was describing, grabbing the coat of Jesus. That's when power happens, is when we come into authentic intimacy. And so, again, the Holy Spirit is helping us in our places, in our heart, to understand where are we? Where are we? Are we pressing in? Is it costing us? Are we sacrificing? Are we being willing to allow our hearts to be vulnerable to the influence of the glory and the splendor and the majesty and the brightness of Jesus? We'll know. We'll know, because he shows up and he vindicates, he validates truth. And that's the thing that doesn't happen on the periphery and in the familiar. We can be deceived. We can believe that we have light, that we have revelation on the periphery and in the familiar, because deception happens with that little bit of knowledge. But without pressing in and investing, do you know, being in the periphery and being in the familiar, it doesn't cost you anything. That's a good sign to know if we're in the familiar, if we're in the periphery, is if anything's costing. So we're going to read another scripture from Luke. Again, Jesus' words. Jesus is going to be describing to us the familiar again. He's also going to be talking about authentic intimacy with him. This is Luke 8:18. Jesus' words, Passion Translation. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching. Oh, did I just read? No, I'm sorry. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching, for to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away. Let's read it again. So pay careful attention to your hearts as you hear my teaching, for to those who have open hearts, even more revelation will be given to them until it overflows. And for those who do not listen with open hearts, what little light they imagine to have will be taken away. It takes revelation to even know to press into Jesus. And when you know to press into Jesus, that might be that little bit of knowledge that we have on the periphery and the familiar. Act on it. When the Holy Spirit is prompting you and you have a little bit of knowledge, act on it, because the promise of the scripture from Jesus' mouth says that little bit of revelation, when you step in and you sacrifice and you invest and you render your heart vulnerable to the influence of the glory and splendor and majesty and brightness of Jesus, revelation is going to overflow. That little bit that you have, when you acted upon it, there's going to be an overflow that comes when you step into authentic intimacy with Jesus. And it's a picture of fullness. It's a picture of fullness of what we saw in Luke 9:32. Fullness happened with the disciples when they were fully awakened in the glory and splendor and majesty and the brightness of Jesus. And when we press in, this scripture said revelation will come until it overflows. But again, he's warning us about the periphery and in the familiar in this verse when he says, but if you're not going to have an open heart, that little light, that little bit of knowledge that we have in the familiar and the periphery, it can be taken away. Because when deception happens, darkness floods in. God keeps talking to me about this. You know how you'll have a conversation with God and you'll wrap it up and put a bow on it and write it in your journal and go, look at this amazing conversation I had with God. But then the Lord will just like say something else. And so this is really important to him. And he keeps talking to me about it. Just last week, he said this to me. I woke up early in the morning and he said, you know, people highly value their opinions. And it was really kind of the Lord to say people, because at first I could think he was talking about them. But then I realized, oh, I'm a people. And so then it was like, oh, okay, people can highly value their opinions. And then he said this, but you know, it doesn't cost anything to form them. People can highly value their opinions. People can highly value their opinions, but it doesn't cost anything to form them. We would never do that on the earth. We would never put such a high price on something that doesn't cost anything, that isn't worth anything. And it's not that our opinions don't have a voice. It's just that if it's not based in truth, then it kind of doesn't matter. And we need to learn to be okay with that, with these opinions that are forming. Are we forming them on the periphery? Are we forming them in the familiar where we have a little bit of knowledge? Are we pressing in? Are we rendering ourselves vulnerable and let our hearts be influenced by the glory and splendor and majesty, the brightness of Jesus? Because then our opinions can be based on what's true. And that's really all that matters when it comes to the kingdom of God. Opinions, I've been saying this several times, because when the Lord says something to you, you should probably remember it. And so he said it to me, so I should probably remember it the most. Opinions, people highly value their opinions, but it doesn't cost very anything to form them. All right, so we're going to look at this last verse of Luke 11. This is 34 through 36. I got to take another sip. Again, these are Jesus' words from the Passion. Luke 11, 34 through 36. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your hearts and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. If your spirit burns with light, fully illumined with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp, reflecting rays of truth by the ways that you live. Let's read it again, because I love scripture. You know what I really love? I really think God likes it. It's that big. Sometimes when I've been in here and the scripture just goes boom up there, I'm just like, oh, look how big it is. Like I just could wrap it all around me. I just really think that pleases God. It pleases me, especially as my eyesight's getting different. Okay, Luke 11, 34 through 36. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in fullness. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your hearts. Consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp, reflecting rays of truth by the ways that you live. You know what's so amazing is that Jesus in Luke 11:36 is basically telling us how to be him in Luke 9:32. So when Jesus, the transfiguration of Jesus was amazing, supernatural, and it wasn't just to put on a great show. Look at the blinding glory coming out of me, Jesus says. He gave an example, and he says in Luke 11:36, we were meant to be that. Listen to the words that he uses. Fully illuminated, no trace of darkness, a shining lamp, reflecting rays of truth. And what it said in Luke 9:32 is that his appearance became altered. His face became aglow. A blinding glory shone forth from him. Jesus is saying Luke 9:32, his transfiguration, is our Luke 11:36. But it cost. It takes investment. It takes sacrifice. It takes pressing in. It takes leaving the old behind to come into the new. And it is a cost. But to stand on the periphery in the familiar, where temporarily it might cost you, but long-term it's your destiny, that's a pretty high price too. But deception happens there. And it woos us to stay. It woos us to stay, and we navigate and we negotiate and we think, I don't know. I mean, this relationship's really important. I don't want to look this way, you know? And what about this? What about my finances? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I do this too. I mean, I basically, when I was preparing this message, I was like, Lord, can I like sit there and say the whole thing too? Because like, I'm just standing here because he's using me as a mouthpiece, but I am in this. I am in this every day because anyone who follows Christ is in this every day. This is what it looks like. And it is amazing. I mean, what Jesus wants to do for us even this morning, that what he's already been doing and what he wants to do even more, because he's always doing more, is he wants us to have Luke 9:32. He wants us to have this morning Luke 11:36. And so I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, anointing of repentance, I ask you to fall upon us right now and prepare our hearts. And I'm going to pray for us. And I'm going to just say, give you a little heads up, because you're like, I don't know if I'm falling. I don't know what you're going to pray. But just as a heads up, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to completely remove the familiar from us. And here's the thing. It cost. Okay? It's like you're getting ready to take a ride on a roller coaster and you got to pay for the ticket. And so it cost. There's an investment. But most importantly, your responsibility where you are, my responsibility standing up here, is to render my heart vulnerable to the influence of the glory and the splendor and the majesty and the brightness of Jesus. And I promise you, because he's proven it to me over and over, and he's proven it to you too, it's worth it. Whatever we give up for the sake of the kingdom of God, he makes it worth it, and then some. So I'm gonna lead us in a prayer of repentance right now. Going to just clean house, and then we're going to ask the glory of God to come in a brand new way, and guess what? He's going to. And we were meant for that. We were meant for that this morning. So let's just be still a minute before him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you brood over us and as you move upon us and you help us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for persuading us. Thank you for reminding us that you're worth it. Lord, we tell you that we're sorry. We apologize to you this morning. We apologize to you for the areas of our lives where we have held back, where we have tried to play it safe, where we have stayed on the fringe, where we've started even to build a house in the familiar. And we just thank you that this morning that your loving kindness is calm. And you've given us eyes to see. And you've given us ears to hear. And you've made any closed off and hardened placed in our life, open and softened again by your presence. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Blood of Jesus, I just ask that you come and have mercy upon us and pour out fresh anew upon our hearts. Love of God, I ask you to come and pull from the root up any and all places within each one of us, individually and corporately as a wake church, God. We ask that you come and pull all the way up the familiar from us, God. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that as you draw that out from within us, Lord, you cast it into a fire. And that it's never meant to return. And I just declare that it won't, in Jesus' name, through your blood. Just say, let that work happen all the way, Holy Spirit. Anointing of God, let full deliverance take place in every heart and every mind and every circumstance and every family and every marriage. Thank you, Lord. We press in now, God. We press into the glory and to the splendor and to the majesty and the brightness of you, Jesus. We press in. Lord, you are not a God that disappoints. When we render ourselves vulnerable to you, you show up. So I thank you right now that the pouring out is happening from the kingdom of heaven unto us. And every place that was dark and hidden and kept at bay is now brought fully into the light of the love of God. And we say, glory and splendor and majesty and brightness of Jesus, come and set us ablaze. Make us the lamps that you described. Make us the blinding glory. Set our faces aglow. Alter our appearance. that we're not the same once we leave here because we've been in the presence of you. We thank you, God, that you are fully illuminating us, God. And that we go forth from this place today, Lord, reflecting your rays of truth, shining them forth like lasers, God, just by the ways that we live, because we've spent time with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this kingdom transfer that's taken place, Lord. Darkness for light, old for new. And God, I do just pray that this good work that you've begun, you are faithful to complete it. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that it would come to full fruition, full maturity, what you've begun in here today. I ask for courage, anointing. God, I ask that you pour out fresh new courage for us, God. It takes courage to be new. It takes courage to be something other than what you used to be. And God's doing a new thing for us today. And Lord, we just bless you in this atmosphere today. And we just declare that all the honor and the glory and the power is yours. And we just say, God, we want to be tapped in all the way. All the way, God. All the way, all the way, all the way. Thank you for helping us today. Thank you for helping us tonight. Thank you for helping us tomorrow. Thank you that your help is endless. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends. It never ends. Thank you that the oil of your presence, God, keeps these lamps lit and ablaze and shining forth and completely being transformed and completely transforming everything around us just because we're with you. Jesus.
You know, God is after more than anything our hearts. And I love those reminders just to see, let the Holy Spirit find out where we are there and so we can open back up. Religion is having a form and being on the periphery, as she was talking about, being on the outside. He wants us all the way fully open to him. All right, would you stand with me? And if you would like to receive some ministry too, in addition to what Elizabeth just shared, and thank you so much, Elizabeth, for doing that. But if you'd like someone to pray for you, lay hands on you, maybe you need healing in your body, we'll have some folks up here that will stand up in front. Just come up to them. They'll pray for you, encourage you, love on you, and want you to have a great day. Honor those moms. Take care of them. If you get a chance to call a mom, whether it's your own or someone else that could use one, a call to just encourage them, feel free to do that. Please do that. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.